الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وبعد My dear brothers and sisters, we are on the ayat of Surah Al-Luqman from the lessons that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us in the surah where Luqman alayhi salam mentioned the importance of salah and of Amar bil Ma'ruf wa Nahy al Munkar of enjoining good and forbidding evil. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya bunayya aqimis salata wa'mur bil ma'ruf wanha 'anil munkar wasbir 'ala ma asabak inna dhalika min 'azmi al-umur. Which means, O my son, aqimis salat, establish the salat, enjoin, order, recommend, persuade, convince people to do al-ma'ruf, which is all that is good and permissible, and forbid people from doing al-munkar, which is all that is evil. And bear with patience whatever befalls you in this process. Verily, these are some of the important commandments ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without exception. We spoke about the importance of salah last Jumu'ah, and we continue with that. I mentioned to you that Salah, as Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us, is the Mi'raj of the Mu'min. Salah is the time when the person, the believer, connects directly to his Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu, when he speaks to Allah and Allah listens to him real time, when he worships Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala as if he can see him, knowing that Allah is actually seeing him. And that is the whole essence and meaning of Salah. Salah is not yoga, salah is not physical movement, salah is not good for discharging the static electricity from your body by putting your head on the ground, all kinds of funny so-called scientific theories people come up with. So the whole issue is salah is ibadah, and the purpose of salah is to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribed salah to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam within the first year of revelation itself. The formal salah which we pray came in the 12th or 13th year of revelation when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on Miraj. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was ordered to do salah in the first year itself. Among the first ayats to be revealed after the first five ayat of Surah Al-Alaq are the ayat of Surah Al-Muzzammil and Surah Al-Muddathir. And the ayat of Surah Al-Muzzammil are the ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuha al-Muzzammil qumil layla illa qalila nisfahu abin qusminhu qalila awzid alayhi warattil al-Qur'ana tartila. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O you who is wrapped in garments and sleeping, stand up in the night before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How much? Qumil layl, stand up for the whole night. Stand up for the whole night. Qumil layl, stand up for the whole night. Illa qalila, except for a small part. To stand up for most of the night. In salah and do what? Waratil al-Qur'ana tartila. And recite the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a beautiful manner. Waratil al-Qur'ana tartila. Not in a hurry, not fast, in a beautiful manner. So what is happening here? Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching his Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to connect with him directly and draw strength and sustenance from his Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in effect, what the teacher says to the student, which is, recite your lesson. What did you learn till now? Let me hear what you learned till now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need for someone to recite the lesson for him to know. But this is for us to teach us and to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. There is a difference between simply knowing that Allah knows and doing something with this knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is listening to me. It's about the human being, it's not about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are the ones who need the comfort, we are the ones who need the sustenance, we are the ones who need this strength from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah does not need anything from anybody. So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the special charge that we connect to in the night to receive strength to do the work of the deen in the day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Inna sanulqi alayka qawlan thaqila. Allah said, you will be given this heavy burden, for which do this. My brothers and sisters, the salah is the light in the qabr. It is the light in the grave. The salah is deliverance from the fire. The salah is the key to Jannah. The salah is the first thing that will be questioned, that we will be questioned about when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. The salah is the means of solving our problems, of resolving our difficulties, of taking care of all the needs that we have in this dunya wal akhirah. But like any tool, as I mentioned in last Jummah, like any tool, no matter how sophisticated and powerful that tool may be, it will only benefit the one who uses it and knows how to use it. Carrying a tool around in your pocket is no use. You have the tool. Nobody denies the fact that you have the tool. But carrying the tool around in your pocket is not going to help you. You have to actually use that tool. I gave you the example of smartphones because we all have them. But apply this to anything you like. Any tool, no matter how powerful and useful it might be, is powerful and useful only in the hand of the one who uses it, who knows how to use it and who uses it. The tool has no meaning for a person who is just carrying it in his pocket, or he has it in his house, or he's keeping it somewhere but he's not using it. If he is not using the tool has no meaning for him. And the tool cannot do anything for him. The tools do not act on their own. Tools cannot do something on their own. And that's why I remind myself and you, let us focus on our salah. I get a lot of questions from a lot of people about all kinds of things. But I have yet to see a question. I won't say it never happened, but I can probably count how many times it happened on the one finger or one hand. Is somebody asking this question and saying, what is it that I can do about my salah? And that's the only thing which matters. Believe me, the whole world can go to hell, it makes no difference to you. The only thing that will make a difference to you and me is where you go and where I go. And what is the key to that? Is my salah and your salah. If my salah and your salah is the kind which we will, may Allah protect us, which we will actually be punished for. Punished for praying. Rasulullah said there is a kind of salah which it is, when it is done, it does not even rise above the head of the prayer of the one who is praying. Forget about going to the arsh of Allah. It does not even rise above the head of the one who is praying, and it is taken and thrown back in the face of the person like a dirty cloth. And I'll give you dalail for all of this, don't worry. Just think about this. I'm saying this so that we can reflect on our own salah, not on somebody else's salah. Your own salah. Where is my salah? In these. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about this salah, for which a person, illa mashallah, may Allah forgive us and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not punish us. And let us work to ensure that if our salah is like this, then we get it out of that. A salah for which a person might be punished is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the surah which all of us know and all of us recite. Now, which is the surah? Surah Ma'un. Ar-aita alladhi yukadhibu bid-deen. What did Allah say? فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ. Allah said, woe to those who pray. Cursed are those who pray. Shame on those who pray. فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ. So what must we do? Stop praying? If anyone takes that meaning to say stop praying, then that's a complete absence of the grey matter. Fawailul Musallin meanings, woe to people who pray like this, so change the way. If that is the way and that is what your salah is, change it. Fawailul lil musallin. And Allah mentioned two things. What are the two problems with salah like that? Alladhina hum an salatihim sahun. These are the people who delay their salah. Why does anyone delay salah? Because he or she thinks that there is something more important to do. Yes or no? There is no other reason. Why else would you delay salah? Because you consider something else to be more important. Whatever that other thing might be, unless it is something which is, you know, physically that critical, I mean, your plane is taking off and you can't pray right there, so you've got to delay it until your seatbelt sign is off and then you can pray or whatever. But other than that, anytime you delay salah, anytime you delay anything, if your friend calls you, he says, hold on a second, what does it mean? It means I've got something else to do which is more important, I'll come to you. You're not refusing to go. When the Mawzan is saying, Hayya ala salah, hayya ala falah, you're not refusing to go. You're not saying, I'm a murtad, I'm, you know, goodbye Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're not saying that. So, yeah, I'll pray. Somebody says, brother, but you know, that's the jama'ah. Yeah, I'll pray in jama'ah, no problem. I'll catch hold of a couple of people and we'll pray in our office or wherever. I'm not refusing to pray, I'm only delaying. That's exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُسَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. Why? Why? What is that? Why must Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be so hard on the issue of delay? After all, you didn't refuse. So what's the big deal? What's the big deal is the issue. What's the big deal is the issue. What's the big deal is an indication of attitude. The person who's delaying salah is saying that what I have to do is more important than God, than talking to Allah. What I have to do is more important than taking this call. What I have to do is more important than standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is an attitude which, if Allah does not protect us, that is an attitude of kufr. You are denying the importance of the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What do you call it? I'm not pronouncing fatwa or kufr on anybody. I'm just explaining to you the seriousness of delaying salah. And may Allah protect us. We do this all the time. And we do it for reasons. I don't want to go into the whole list of reasons. But you know the reasons, right? Arsenal. Huh? What else? Manchester United.
IPL.
Oh, the pura ek saath mar diye puno. Seriously, I mean, just ask yourself. These are the reasons. These are the reasons. And the same applies if you say, no, but you know, I'm not watching football. This is my business deal. I'm talking to this guy. Time for salah. I'm just, hold on, 5 minutes, I'll come. The attitude, فَوَيْلُ لِلْمُسَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. Because this attitude is an attitude of arrogance before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla Jalalu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so hard with his command in this matter. Allah says, if you want to delay, keep your salah. I'm not interested in your salah. Allah is not interested in our salah as in needing in any case. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you don't even have this much of adab that you come when you are called, then no need to come. فَوَيْلُ لِلْمُسَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. And then what did Allah say? الَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاؤُونَ. And those who pray to show others. Those who pray to show others. That's why Rasulullah said, never give imamat to somebody who asks for it. We have this almost every Ramadan, we have this thing in this masjid. There are the ones who know, don't ask, but the ones who don't know, they come and say, I want to lead salah. He said, why? Because my qiraat is good. So my standard answer is, Rasulullah said, do not give imamat to the one who asks for it. Because the problem is, you are going to be leading salah because you want to show off your qirat to the people. You are standing on the musalla and committing shirk. So my salah behind you, is it valid? Is it not valid? I don't want all these complications. Let somebody lead who is not interested in this. People praying to show. People talking about this. Huh? Somebody says, like this is something I mentioned all the time. People say, please make dua for me. He says, yeah, I'll make dua in tahajjud.
So nobody knew that you were playing tahajjud. Now people know that you are playing tahajjud. Your idea of telling the person is, no, I am praying tahajjud, you should know this. You sank your scuttled your own boat. What was the point of that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tahajjud is one salah which is only and only between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his slave. Nobody knows. And that's why there is ikhlas in tahajjud. If you want to show off your qirat, do it in tahajjud. You can play tahajjud with bil qirat, no problem. Show it off there, no problem, absolutely no problem. Your beautiful qirat, you want to show off, do it there. Because then you are actually doing what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was ordered to do. Waratilil Qur'ana tartila. Allah did not say recite it silently. He said, let me hear. Allah hears anyway. But Allah says, recite it. Ayn sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Do that. In tahajjud. Show off your qirat. Not before people. So one type of salah is the salah which is a means of punishment for the one who prays. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from that. Then there is a salah which is protection from haram and protection from the disobedience of Allah. In Surah Al-Ankabut, Allah said, "Utlu ma uhiya ilayka min al-kitabi wa aqimis salata inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar wa la dhikrullahi akbar wallahu ya'lamu ma tasna'un." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, recite, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what has been revealed to you of the book. And establish as-salah, ikamati salah. Verily, as-salah prevents from al-fahsha, all kinds of sins, all kinds of shameless actions, wal-munkar, and from all kinds of evil deeds and disobedience. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remembering you is greater indeed than your praising Allah. Can we? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and Allah knows what you do. Can we try to imagine this? Can we try to think about this? Why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, Allah dhikr of you? Why will Allah make my dhikr? Why will Allah make your dhikr? Allah dhikr of you is more and it is more valuable and so on than your dhikr of Allah. Yes, we know that. But why will Allah make dhikr of you at all? And why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioning this in relation to salah? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Fadhkuruni azkurku. Allah said, you remember me, you make my dhikr, I will make your dhikr. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when my slave, and Hadith Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when my slave remembers me within himself, I remember him within myself. And when my slave remembers me in a company, I remember him in a company which is better than his company. So when we are standing in salah, think about this. It's not just exercise. You're standing here, think about this and say what? And say, I am standing here, first of all, I'm standing here. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when the slave makes sujood, he is not making sajda on the ground, he is making sajda before the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So bring this kaifiyat within yourself. When you stand here, say to yourself that I am standing here before the arsh of Allah. And when I make sajda, I will be making sajda directly before the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then say to yourself that now when I recite the kalam of Allah, which is the dhikr of Allah, Allah is going to take my name on his arsh, on his throne. Your name. By name Allah will remember you. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, recite Quran every day. And of course the best recitation of Quran, the most glorious recitation of the Quran, the most meritorious recitation of the Quran is the Quran that is recited in Qiyam, in Salah. But you said Quran every day, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala waits for the voice of his slave reciting Quran. It's almost like you're waiting for a particular, radio channel or something to come on and you say, okay, hold on, everything. This is online now. I'm listening to this. And that's exactly, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, this is what Allah does. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla Jalaluhu, waits for your voice. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not say, Allah waits for the voice of the one who recites like Sudesh. No. For your voice. For your voice which has no tune. For your voice which recites with mistakes. I'm not saying you should recite with mistakes. I'm saying that we do our best, but you know, we still make mistakes, tajweed and so on. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not say, Allah will listen to you only if you recite with perfect tajweed, perfect tilawat, perfect lahan, perfect so on. So, no, no, no. Your voice. Reciting his kalam. In the best way, you know. Aata hi ho to kya karega? Allah ke paas le gaye. Kala main to faqir. Mere paas hai hi hai. Aur kya se laun? Magar jo hai wo diya. Wala main faqir. I have only this much. Where will I get more from? But what I had, I brought. I didn't keep it back. So read Quran aloud in your homes. Let the walls bear witness for you on the day of judgment that they used to hear your voice. Let that be a memory for your children. Your voice reciting Quran. When they think of you, let them remember your voice reciting Quran. And don't worry about the fact that you can't recite it well. And by all means, make effort. Make effort, learn, go, correct your tajweed and so on. But don't worry about all that. Allah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala waits to hear that voice. And when that voice comes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala draws the attention of his muqarrabeen. Allah is saying to Jibreel and Mikael and Israfil, and Allah knows who is there. And saying, listen to so and so. Listen to him reciting Quran. Listen to this one reciting Quran. So when you stand there in Salah, remember this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu on his arsh will call your name, remembers you by name. You know why we have hearts are filled with all kinds of fears. What will Modi do and what will Trump do and you know what will Donald Duck do? And because there is no azmat and noor of Allah in the heart. What can somebody do to the one who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu mentions by name on his arsh 5 times a day and more? Depending on the number of times. Allah said, Fadkuruni, Azkurukum. Allah did not say how many times. You remember me, I will remember you. How many times? As many times as you remember me, I will remember you. So who has got the control? How many times do you want Allah to remember you? Who has got that control in his hand? You. I want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to continuously remember me 24 hours. Then what must I do? Continuously remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 24 hours. Keep on reciting durood. Keep on saying la ilaha illallah. Keep on saying subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. Say nothing. Just think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I just downloaded an app. I sent the app to you guys also. BBC has put out this app of Planet Earth, right? All David Attenborough's best moments of the man is 91 years old. Make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him hidayah before he dies. Wallah ajeeb, it's a matter of ibrat. Somebody who has seen the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala up so close is still unable to see the power of the Creator in the creation. Yeah, make dua that he's a good man. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him hidayah and give him Islam before he dies. He's 91 years old. So the point I'm saying is that I downloaded that app and I watch it, and to me this is the zikr of Allah. That's pure ibadah. Watching Planet Earth 2, the new one which has come out, pure ibadah. It is a zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You look at those things and you look at those birds and you look at the way the earth has been built and the wildlife and all kinds of things, and you say subhanallah, wallahi ajeeb, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala qudrat.
Fadkuruni Azkurkum.
So what does Salah do? The second kind of Salah keeps us away tanha anil fahshai wal munkar. There was a man, one of the Sahaba, who used to come to Rabbi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam quite often, and then he stopped coming. So Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam missed him, and he asked somebody, he said, where is this man? He used to come. They said, Ya Rasulullah, he has fallen into bad company and he's doing all kinds of haram stuff, and so he's ashamed to come before you. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, does he pray or has he given up salah? They said, no, he's praying, he's not given up salah. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, tell him to continue to pray. Tell him to continue to pray. Now this is not license for you to do all kinds of haram and pray. Because if you are doing that, then that's a denial of the prayer and the value of prayer. We are talking here about something which happened coincidentally. So, continue to pray. After some time, the man came back to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, I have made tawbah. And I got your message to say, continue to pray. Why did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say to him, continue to pray? Inna salata tanha anil fahshai wal munkar. It is the nature of salah. If you are praying the way you are praying, then this will save you from every form of disobedience. If you are praying and you are still able to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you must go back to the salah and say, what is the quality of my salah? How is it that I am praying and still I can do haram? How is it that I am praying and still I go against the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How is it that I am praying and still my akhlaq are not what they are supposed to be? How is it that I am praying but I still tell lies and I still curse and I still do ghibat and I bad talk people and I malign people and I don't switch off my phones in the masjid? How is it? Seriously, ask yourself this question. How is it that this salah which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised, this is the kalam of Allah. I didn't make it up, right? Inna salata tanha anil fashai wal munkar is not my share. It is the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salah is inna salata. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using a emphatic form of address. Inna salata. Verily, surely, definitely, without a doubt. Inna salata tanha anil fashai wal munkar. The tool must show the effect. So now I'm using the tool, but still the effect is not happening. What will you say? Go back to the tool. Am I using the tool correctly? Is it programmed correctly? Do I know what to do? What must I do? How must I change it? I mean, all of this goes back again to saying, use the tool properly. This is what the tool is supposed to do. What is this tool supposed to do? It is supposed to separate you and move you away from all forms of disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever they might be, fahushat wal munkarat. So now, this is what the tool is supposed to do. Is there a doubt? Maybe this is not true, maybe the tool, no, because this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's kalam. There's no doubt in that. La rayba fi hudalil muttaqin, and it gives hidayah to the people of taqwa. So now we know what the tool is supposed to do, but I find in my life this tool is not working. So what must I do? Go back to the tool, practice more, find out more, learn more. Inna salata tanha anil fahshai wal munkar. And then there is a third form of salah. The third form of salah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this. Grant this to all of us, inshallah. And there Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Tatajafa junubuhum anil madaji yad'una rabbahum khawfan wa tam'a wa mimma razaqnahum yunfiqoon fala ta'alamu nafsum ma uqfiya lahum min qurrati ayun jaza'an bima kanu ya'maloon. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and these are the people, he's talking about the people who are at that level, and may Allah make us all at that level, inshallah. He's talking specifically about tahajjud, specifically about standing in the night. وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا. Specific about that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that these people, their sides forsake their beds, which means they get up in the night. And they stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a state بَيْنَ الْخَوْفِ وَتَمْعَى. Between fear and hope. The fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's punishment and the hope for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy and grace and forgiveness. This is the position of the Muslim. One of the young Sahaba of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was dying. They called him. They say, Ya Rasulullah, this brother is dying, please come. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went to his bedside. The Sahabi was in the last moments of his life. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked him, how are you? What is your state? When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked this question, when the Sahaba used to ask this question, they didn't mean your health. They meant the state of your iman. Today somebody says, how are you? We say, I am good. First of all, that is bad English. Because you are good and not good is a judgment that somebody else is supposed to make. The best you can say is, I am well, meaning that physically I am well. So stop saying, I am good. There is no I am good. I will decide whether you are good or bad. You say, I am well or I am sick. If you say, I am good, you are sick. Actually, because you don't learn grammar. So the point is that when the Sahaba asked each other, they meant iman. What is the state of your iman? How did you wake up today? They didn't say right side of the bed, left side of the bed. No. How did it mean? What state of iman did you wake up in the morning? So, Rasulullah went there. He said, how are you? He said, Ya Rasulullah, I am fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's punishment. And I am hopeful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. So he said, I am standing in this place. Bain al-khawfi wa tama. Rasulullah said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, insha'Allah, will save you from that which you fear, and He will give you that which you hope for. That is the position of the Muslim. So Allah is saying, those are the people, and may Allah make us among those who stand in the night in this condition. Bain al-khawfi wa tama. Between the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's punishment and the hope for His mercy. And who spend from what we have given. So it's not only standing there, it is again going, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is cooled by charity. We must be very grateful to our dear Prime Minister, Mr. Narendra Modi, for giving us the opportunity to cool the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by feeding the people standing in the queues that His farman has created. Alhamdulillah, there are Muslim boys who are doing that. Go support them. Go start your own. Give them money. You go start your own in your areas. Help the people. People are standing in those queues for hours and hours and hours. He said, we get all these stories. Somebody could not draw money from the bank, so his child died. My question is, why does the man have to draw money from the bank only for the medicine of his child? Why doesn't somebody give him the money? Second Chronicle says, the husband and wife and newborn child outside in the park, in the parking lot of Gandhi Hospital, because they have no money to go back home and they are in the cold. And then we say the home minister or the health minister sends a farman to say that they should be taken care of. And now Gandhi Hospital takes them back inside and now they are being given free medicine and this and this and this. This is humanity. This is humanity. The whole of Gandhi Hospital, all those doctors, everybody else is standing there. They are okay. They have to get a boot in the backside from the health minister to do what they are supposed to do as human beings. Seriously, we are a very, very, very sick society. And it is not the sign of health to be profoundly adjusted to a sick society. So, Alhamdulillah, Allah gave us the opportunity in this demonetization of cooling His anger, of making our Jannah. So, whatever happens to the notes and this and that, forget all that. Here is an opportunity to do some good. So, let's go out there and do it. I was very happy to see those in the Hindu, it's been reported and so on. But I'm saying that's one place. This is an issue all over the country. So let's do that. Let's go and do this. Help people. Mimma razaqnahum yunfiqoon. Not only enough to stand in the night, go also and do the work during the day. And then Allah said, what? If you do that, فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسُمْ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةِ عَيُونَ جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Allah said, for this action, if they knew what I have kept for them as reward, this will be the coolness of their eyes. The Quran is very dignified in its. Allah does not say they will jump with joy and they will dance on. No, right? Coolness of the eyes. A dignified way of mentioning. Allah says, what is Allah talking about? Allah is talking about the izzat in this dunya.
And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the easing of your difficulties. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about Jannah in Al-Firdaus. A very dear friend of mine, Tamim Ahmad. So Tamim always says, he does a lot of charitable work. May Allah help him and reward him. And anytime anyone tells him, he says, meri chhatri hai. It's my umbrella, sir. My umbrella, sir. So what is umbrella? He says, this is what protects me from difficulties. I remove somebody's difficulty because Allah has given me money, Allah has given me influence, Allah has given me something. Allah will remove that from me. So the more I do, the more I am under the umbrella. He always says, never get outside the umbrella. Create the umbrella. Alhamdulillah, I am blessed with very good friends from whom I learn a lot. And Tamim is one of them. Umbrella. Just do a good deed for the heck of it. Not for any reason. Do something good for the heck of it. Just like that. Without reason. Do good to somebody who does not have any chance of giving you something in return. And then see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens doors for you. See how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects you. See how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala covers you in His mercy. See Allah, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause you to be carried on top of the storm. But we have to work for it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُرَّةَ عَيُّنْ. It will be the coolness of their eyes. And then of course when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu, which all of us will do, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to meet Him in a state where He is pleased with us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to meet Him in a state where He is pleased with us. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to complete and fulfill these promises of His, which He has told us about in His kalam. And which is Nabi Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam told us about in these ahadith. To complete this by showing us this. Allah mentioned His Jannah. We ask Allah to show us His Jannah from inside, from where we are, not from outside. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the shade of His arsh on the day when there will be no shade except His shade. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show us that shade from when we are sitting under that shade, inshallah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove the difficulties of all those who have difficulties. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to free all those who are in any form of oppression from that oppression. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cure everyone who has any health issue from that health issue. We make special dua for our brothers and sisters who have cancer. Like everything else, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cure them from their cancer. But among the forms of shahada is also the one who died of cancer. So those who have died and whose relatives have died of cancer, insha'Allah musta'an, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us bashara that that person died as shaheed fi sabilillah. Among the many forms, there's a beautiful hadith of Abu Hurairah radhiyallahu anhu, which I will send you. Abu Hurairah radhiyallahu anhu asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Ya Rasulullah, is the shaheed only the one who dies in fighting, in qital, in a battle for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if that was the only definition of shahada, then the shuhada from my ummah would be very few. And then he proceeded to list the kinds of deaths which a person, a believer, a mu'min dies. And he said, all of this will be counted as shahada. And the whole long list of them. Alhamdulillah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the highest darajat and the greatest reward for His Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who gave us this basharat. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cure our brothers and sisters, and we mentioned specific people and we do not mention names and so on here for the sake of confidentiality. They would not like that to happen, but Allah knows best, so you just make dua. And as I always say, make dua with a complete and total reliance and understanding that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can and will do whatever He wants. Irrespective of what the test report said to you and irrespective of whatever else. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Fatir as-samawati wal-ard, Badi'u as-samawati wal-ard, Maliku as-samawati wal-ard, Khaliku as-samawati wal-ard, We ask him by his names and his sifat, and we ask him by his greatest of names to cure our brothers and sisters from all their diseases. Whoever is suffering from anything, we ask them to cure them. Specifically also we ask for cures for the people from cancer who we asked for. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also to specifically cure and remove all the pain of our brother Mukram. He and his wife and their daughter also was in the car. They had a very bad accident in America. They were driving from Chicago to New Jersey and a 16-wheeler hit them from the back. And both are husband and wife, both of them have spinal injuries. And the child is also injured, but not that severely. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to completely take away all their pain, to totally and completely cure them, bring them home safe and sound, inshallah. And we ask this with total and complete faith and yaqeen that Allah will do this. And Allah said, Ud'uni, ask me, astajib lakum, I will give you. So we are asking, so we ask Allah, ya Allah, you told me to ask, I'm asking you, so give me. अरे दुआ शान से मांगो यार, हमने दिल से नहीं मांग रहे, अल्लाह ताला ने बोला मांगो तो मांगो, फिर डर गया क्या, मांग के फिर मिलता नहीं मिलता क्या ऐसा? If Allah is saying ask me I will give you, then why do you ask and have a doubt? Tell me, बेमानी की बात है ये तो. When you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah said ask. उद्धोनी अस्तजिब लकुम को मेरा शाय, मेरा शेर तो नहीं है ना, ये तो अल्लाह का कलाम है ना भाई. This is the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is giving ud'uni, hukum, ask me. Yastajib lakum, I will give you. I will accept. So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with total yaqeen and say, Allah, I asked you because you told me to ask you. So give because I am asking. No other reason. Give because you can give. And give because I am asking. Ask with this yaqeen. Inshallah al-Musta'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant. We have seen many examples of this in our lives. Let us continue to ask with the same power and with the same same yaqeen with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept all your coming and your salah and your tilawat al-Quran and your zikr and your tahajjud. And we ask Allah to accept your charity, and we ask Allah to give us the opportunity and the hidayat to increase all of this. Like we like to increase what comes to us, let us increase all of this, because all of this is our earning on the day of judgment. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then to give us this all on the day of judgment in a beautiful form, which is far more beautiful than what we have given to him. Jalla jalaluhu wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.